Our scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians. I'll be reading chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The message this morning comes from a meditation and prayer that I had a few weeks ago in the quiet of the morning as I was reading through this passage of Scripture. God laid some things on my heart that I just had a desire to develop a little bit, and laid some things on my heart that I couldn't let go of, to the point that I wanted to share some of them with you this morning, with hopes that it'll meet all of us in a place that we're at in our lives and in our walk in faith. And what I'd like you to do, especially if you're a person that it helps you to write down things to remember them, on the back of the bulletin there's a very vague and bland outline. It's not even an outline, a place for you to write some notes. And I'd like for you to write these six words down at the bottom of that page. It dawned on me this morning that having an understanding of these words will help us understand what God's calling us to in this passage. The words are love, security, understanding, significance, purpose, and belonging. Love, security, understanding, significance, purpose, and belonging. Powerful words in and of themselves. Words that you've heard dependent on the context and some of the small groups we've been in, some of the other teachings, and I'm positive at least one or two sermons I've mentioned these. These six words are what we refer to as our core longings. Our core longings. In other words, each of us are born with a sense of needing each of these six things in our lives. We need to be and feel loved. We need to sense and have security. We need to have an understanding of the world and things around us. A sense of significance for our lives. A sense of purpose for our lives. And a sense of belonging in our lives. This is true of each and every one of us. That we need these six things in our lives in order to live fully and freely and in health in the truest sense of the word. And so for each of us, as we're born into this world, we need to experience these six things as if they're up there. I'm pointing to them. They're right here. These six things in our lives. We need to experience them. Have a capacity for them to be giving to us. And the first place this happens is in our families. And none of us grew up in perfect families, and we certainly aren't growing up in a perfect world. And so there's a sense that in each of us, these six core longings have not been met. And so what happens as we grow and as we experience life, and this isn't a conscious effort on our part, but as our heart cries out to have these six longings met, and they're not being met in us by the world and surroundings around us, we go and we seek to find them in other places, in other things, in other people. Fill in the blank. So if they're not being met within us, then we go out and we seek to find things and places to help us meet them and experience them. Now the core of the message this morning is this, is that we are wired to have these things met within us by God through the person of Jesus Christ and the sustaining ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That first and foremost, each of these six core longings need to be met in Jesus Christ. And to an extent, they can then be met by others in our lives because we are also born for community. But foundationally, we need to seek Christ to have these things met in our lives to begin to move us towards health and wholeness. And so with that as kind of a foundation to what we're going to look at this morning, I'd like for you to do something with me. I'd like for you to just kind of clench your fist. And depending on the type of morning you've had, that may be a light clench, or you may find yourself like not only clenching your fist, but gritting your teeth as well. And if it helps, you can even close your eyes and just kind of meditate on some of these things. But the question this morning is, what are the things that you and that I, that we grab or grasp or hold on to because they're meeting these core longings in our lives? And if you're willing to, I want you to keep that fist clenched, because I'm just going to give some examples of this. And you may even find yourself, as I say things, like tightening down a little bit. And if you do, I want you to notice that. Examples of things that we may cling to meet these core longings. Our jobs, our profession, career, our education, our homes, or the materials that we possess, our stuff, it's my technical word for that, our accomplishments, both realized and potential or future. It could be our spouse. It could be our children. It could be our parents, other family members, friends. It could be the people that we help as we go out seeking to live out our faith. We may be helping others in such a way that it's actually tapping our own needs and core longings. It could be the sports we play, the music we perform, our entertainment, our hobbies, or extracurriculars. It could be our image that we project to the world. It could be our religion. And I specifically use the word religion there. Those things that we do in order to make ourselves feel comfortable or meet these longings, as opposed to a relationship. And hopefully that'll play out a little bit in a few moments. As you think about each of those six core longings, the love, the security, the understanding, the significance, the purpose, the belonging, it could be anything in our lives that when we think about losing it, it makes us want to grab a hold of and grasp a little more tightly. And maybe some of you felt that even as you worked your way through that list. Certainly didn't exhaust those things, but what you'll notice is that all of those things that I read here are positive things. Now, we could go a whole other direction on things that are perceived as negative things in our lives. Those are the easy ones. Usually we know that. There's this that I should give up. There's this that I should let go of. But I want to try to tap into this morning are the things that are perceived as positive things in our lives. And if we're honest with one another, what we're really trying to do is control whatever it is that we put in that space. And I just had this thought this morning that I look forward to developing, that, you know, control, that idea of control is a facade. It's not even real because it's not even possible. Control in and of itself is deceiving, and I believe a tool of the deceiver, of Satan himself, to get us to think that we can actually control things. Because by controlling, we grab and we hold tight of. And what we're really doing is allowing ourselves to be controlled. You could think about that a little bit later on, but this gets tiring if we're honest. We grow weary. It's hard work to grab a hold of the things around us. And it doesn't lead to a life of freedom. And the question I have this morning is, might God be calling you? I know God's calling me. Might God be calling you? Perhaps us, in some respects, to begin the process of letting go of some of these things. To change our posture from one of holding on to one of open hands. Now, I want to make this distinction. What I don't want to be communicated is a sense of washing our hands of. In other words, yeah, I'm letting that go, and I'm not taking any responsibility, I'm not putting any energy, I'm not putting any effort towards this. All right, if you want me to let go, fine. I'm let go, and I'm going to walk the other way and wash my hands of it. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. But I do believe that God wants us in this posture of open hands so that the things and the people and those the aspects of our lives that we can very easily cross over to and try to control and that can control us, if we have that posture of open hands, those things can come and go in and out of our lives. And there can be a freedom in that and a freedom in Christ. It allows movement. And it allows us to let go the need to be in control and to give that control, entrusting it to God. It's an act of relinquishment of these things and these people in our lives into the hands of God the Father. Now, what's a biblical model for this? I believe that what I just read, Philippians 2, is not just the, but a biblical model. And a couple weeks ago when I was reading this, it just really struck me in those first couple verses what Christ gave up when he humbled himself and took on the form of humanity. It says, let the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. I want to pause there. The NIV and many other translations that we may know, that you may know in your mind, says did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. And I know a lot of these verses in the NIV, and you even heard me stumble over it this morning. So when I start reading it, that's what comes out. And then when you read it in different translations, certain words just kind of grab you. Well, there's a nuance to the word exploited that I think is helpful as we come a few minutes later down the message. But what I really want us to think about is that Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. I don't know where this came from, if it was some sort of like subordination teaching in my life, but I'd always read that verse to think that equality with God was something that Jesus couldn't grab a hold of, something that he couldn't get to, something that he couldn't attain. Well, that's a false theology. The reality and the truth of it is that Jesus has equality with God, that they are one in the same nature. And so Jesus already has a hold of this thing, this equality with God, this divine nature, yet he didn't consider it something to keep a hold of. He didn't cling to it. He didn't clench his fist around it and grab and hold on to it. This was a good, positive thing. I mean, what better could there be than having equality with God? And yet he had a willingness to let go of that, to open his hands and to give his life to the Father, to let go of his role, to let go of his place in the heavenlies, to not let go of his divine nature. He held that in some paradoxical way with the humanity and the human nature that he took on. But consider all that Christ let go of to take on the form of human flesh, to humble himself, to become obedient. And what gave me encouragement in that is that this is really hard work that we're talking about this morning. Yet time and time again, God gives us scripture to remind us that God isn't calling us to go anywhere that Jesus himself has not gone before us. And because Jesus has gone there, has opened the hands, has emptied himself, Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can be with us and present with us, even as he calls us down that same path to humility, that same path of emptying. Now, if we're to open our hands, it's not just about us letting go. It's about us letting go so that things can be given to us, so that God can place things in our hands. And that can't happen if we're living our lives like this. As much as you try, you're not going to put something in my hand if I've grasped my hand closed. There's a letting go that needs to happen in order to receive. So what is it that we receive? Well, first and foremost, we receive Jesus Christ. In the fullness of all that Christ has come, he comes and promises, I've given you life and life to the fullest. And how many of us are experiencing that life? To some degree or another, I believe we all desire to have more of that. And so are there areas in our lives that Jesus desires to dwell, to live in, to fill us, that he doesn't yet have access to because we're holding on to these other things or these other people? Are we preventing ourselves from experiencing the fullness of Christ's love and blessings, of receiving all that Christ has for us? Because we're not letting go of other things in our lives. Is our love, security, understanding, belonging, significance, and purpose being met first and foremost in the person of Jesus Christ and as members of the kingdom of God, where all of these things find their place in us and nurture us and strengthen us and call us into live the lives we were created to live? I didn't read these verses that set up the passage, but listen to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, one of mind, being in full accord and of one mind, of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That what's offered to us in Christ is not just salvation in terms of my sins have been forgiven and cleansed, and now I can experience God for all eternity. What's offered to us in Jesus Christ is the fullness of life now in the present. It's being invited into a communion with the triune God, a dwelling with God, a resting with God, a living in unity with Christ the Son, with God the Father, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. For those of you that joined us last week, we meditated on Psalm 23, and we talked about the shepherd leading us into those green grasses, by the still waters, providing rest in our lives, and inviting us to the table of the Lord. And that's what's offered us in this life, that God desires to give us, so that then everything else flows out of being in that place of union with Christ and the Holy Spirit. I want to read verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. That helps us to get a sense of why God's calling us to this place. We're filled with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and then we receive community and fellowship with one another. This has incredible implications for a community of believers. When we learn how to let go of the things that we're grabbing a hold of, and God begins to replace those with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can then relate and have fellowship and community with one another in ways that we're not able to do that if we're grabbing a hold of things and people and situations and experiences in our lives, because it opens us up. It allows us to then live with an openness and an authenticity with one another. There's no more barriers and boundaries that we put in place, because I'm not trying to meet your core longings and you're not trying to meet mine, because they're secured in Jesus Christ. And so our relationships with one another are no longer selfish. They can take on relationships out of a servant's heart. So I'm not seeking to get from you something that you can't give me, because I understand that only Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can meet my deepest longings. And you're not trying to get from me something that I can't give you, because I understand that your deepest needs can only be met through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this is easier to think about in our relationships. You can see how this plays out in our relationships with one another, with our spouses, or with our children, or our parents, with one another. Because it's no longer, as we empty ourselves and are filled with Jesus Christ, it's no longer a selfish interaction. When the people in our lives, when the work in our lives, when all of these things, fill in the blank, what's relative to you, are meeting our core longings instead of Jesus, when we are serving others, what we're really doing is serving ourselves. We have a vested interest in that service, because you're meeting one of my needs. I don't know if this is... So there are especially folks that are pastors, that are nurses, that are in careers, that are helping one another. It shouldn't be a hard leap to realize that a lot of us are in that because we have a desire to help others, and that meets a need within us. And that's true of so many of us in our relationships. And if we allow ourselves and our needs to be met through those relationships and not through Jesus Christ, think about the pressure we're putting on that other individual. I mean, if I'm expecting my spouse to meet my core longings, I'm expecting her to do something that only Jesus can do. Now, in my mind, like, Jesus is here and like, Mandy's not far off. But trust me, she's not perfect. And if she's trying to get from me something that only Jesus can provide for her, Lord, have mercy on her. But we do that to one another. And we do that with our children. And we do that with our parents sometimes. We do that with our work. We're trying to get something from our work that only Jesus can meet. How's that going to go? We do that through our achievements, through our accomplishments, through our sense of purpose in life. How's that working out for us? It's tiring, it's weary, and it doesn't work. But when we empty ourselves, as Jesus emptied himself, when we let go of these things into the trusting hands of the Father, then God fills us through Christ and the Spirit, provides good Christian community and fellowship with us, allows us to then have a servant's heart because we're serving out of the heart and mind of Christ and not our own selfish ambitions. And it helps us move into that place of godly humility. Why? Because it's no longer me and it's no longer mine. Which means if any good comes out of it, who gets the glory? God and God alone. And that's the place we should be at in our lives. Christ emptied himself, humbled himself to the point of death, and then God exalted him. God raised him up. God lifted him to that place that at his name every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if there's any sense of significance in my life, any sense of love, not any sense, but the truest sense of love and security and purpose and understanding and belonging, that's Jesus' work in me. And as I relinquish all of these other things that try to grab a hold of that on my heart, Christ can come and fill us so that we have the freedom then to live and to live fully for the Lord, so that Christ and Christ alone is glorified. Now, another biblical word for all of these things that I keep referring to are gods and idols. The things in the world and in our lives that take the place of Jesus. And so the question becomes, what are the idols? What are the things in this life? Who are the people in this life that I'm clinging to with hopes that they will meet a need in my life that only Jesus Christ can meet? And might God be calling me to begin the process, lifelong process, of letting those things go so that they too can flourish if we put it back in the context of relationships, so that they too can flourish and have the freedom in Christ for Christ to come and transform them in their lives. Now, I can't go too far down any of these paths, but just to kind of help get a sense, how's God doing this in my life? Over the last month, God's been, just keeps bringing this up, this idea of relinquishment and letting things go. And God's spoken to me about family and family members, and asked me to let go of them and give them into his hands. And that's probably the most difficult thing a person could ever do in their lives. And one of the reasons we cling is because we want control. And so the question becomes, do we not trust God more than ourselves with the care of those we love? God's spoken to me 2 weeks ago about things with work and this ministry in this church that I've been trying to grab a hold of and keep control of. And God's saying, no, let go. relinquish this ministry and this congregation to me and to my will. And so here's how that plays out and how I'm testing myself. If there's something going on here where someone could go and say, you know, that pastor, he's really... Was that me or was that God? Because I believe that this ministry should get to that place where it's so crazy what God's doing here, because we're letting go and letting Him do His work through the power of the Holy Spirit, that people in this community begin to say, God's at work there. And to God be the glory, not some pastor who scrambles his way through a work week and tries to give you something to cling to on Sunday mornings. There's aspects of my schedule that God's asking me to hand over so that He can meet me in those places. You know, anything in my life, and I think I've told you this before, where there could be an element of performance, that's where Satan tries to grab those things and get me working. And so even exercise, like I go, well, I want to get healthy. Before I notice, like, well, I want to go do this so that everybody can say, oh, look at him, he did this. Boom, crossed over to an unhealthy place. And I go there like that. You all probably are much better at this than me. But it's so easy for me to cross over to that place of clinging instead of letting go. And it's the prayer that we pray so often. The prayer should be the cry of our heart. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. God's will for our lives. And so as we enter into just a time of prayer and reflection, might you be brave enough to ask of the Lord, what are the things in my life that you are asking me to let go of into your care, to entrust into you? And if it helps you out over these next few minutes, make those fists and, Lord, what am I clinging to? And then as God lays something on your heart, just open your hands as an act of faithfulness, saying, I'll let this go to you, Lord. Take it. This movement, you can do this at home in a closet where no one could ever see you doing something like this, can help connect in our hearts and in our minds those commitments we're making to the Lord. And the last thing I promise I want to say about this is the last thing the Lord spoke to me at 9:20 this morning. I had to grab this and write it down, is that this isn't meant to be a burden. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I believe God's message in this is not to burden you with, oh no, I have to go do this, but to invite you to a place where you let go of your burdens to God and begin to experience rest from the weariness. Would you join me in a time of prayer and reflection as we ask the Lord what He's calling us to let go into His care.